You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome to Money Moves. This is a program that helps you take control of your financial life. No jargon, no judgment, actionable financial advice. That's what we do here. I am Jill Schlesinger. Mark Talerio is my co-host. We are both certified financial planners, but we don't do this for a living. We're not giving financial advice and getting paid for it. For that, we have to bring in the pro. Kayla Sabah of Greenspring Advisors joins us again. So thank you so much for being
here. Thank you for having me again.
And I just want to talk a little bit about where we are in the calendar, which would be, the end of the summer, the unofficial end of the summer as the Labor Day holiday looms. And of course, this makes me think about the dreaded out-of-office email. Kayla, when you go on vacation, do you put an out-of-office email on?
Yes.
And what is that email? Is it like very in-depth, like I am going to be away, I am in the plains of Africa, will not be checking my email? Like, how much detail do you give?
It's not too much detail, but it's a little out-of-office message saying where I am, who they can reach while I'm out, when I'll be looking at my email.
Yes. Are you going to Africa?
No, but I'd love to. but I do have it. And I know that there's sort of a connotation of people getting inundated with these out-of-office
messages. I hate them so much.
I know yours. Yours is pretty simple.
Yeah.
Reach out to me.
Yeah. If you have a question about Jill on Money or Money Moves, here's Mark's. But I won't do that this time. The out-of-office thing drives me a little batty. We overuse it here at the CBS Broadcast Center. There's just also we overuse email. Isaac, I'm sure you're finding this out. There's so much reliance on sending a list of like to 200 people. Like, I don't need to know half the crap you are pushing out. But okay, fine. I read an article in the Financial Times that was very funny. It was a little tongue-in-cheek about what your out-of-office says about you. So here is my favorite one that Mark and I aspire to be these people. I am away for the summer. According to this article, this person is French.
Right. must be European.
It is okay to resent them. They are having a nicer time than you. Okay, here's another one. I'm on holiday until Friday, August 21st. If you need an urgent response, below are the contact details for the three colleagues who can respond in my absence. Now, this is very common.
That's what you usually see.
Right?
Yeah.
This seems helpful, specific, and professional, but underneath the surface, this person despises those colleagues.
Oh.
Ever since they offered her up as their work substitute, you are part of her revenge. See how they like having their inboxes overwhelmed. Okay, so the thing that's also incredible to me is that here in the U.S., people don't take that much vacation. Mm-hmm. That's insanity.
Even when they do, they're still kind of,
looking.
Well, we're tethered. Do you look on vacation? Because you have clients. It's
yes.
A totally different thing.
Yeah. I feel really lucky because we work in a team model, so there is a lot of support. But I do look at it, and I am hypersensitive to responding quickly because it's just like, if it's your money and people need something, it's your job to be on top of it. So I am someone who uses the out of office because I want people to know that I'm on top of it. I'm looking at it. And I definitely still look when I'm on vacation. But I feel lucky because we have a huge amount of very qualified people who step in and help.
Well, Mark, this will surprise you not at all in that there are large investment banks and law firms that basically say you are never to put an out of office because we're in a client business. And so clients don't want to know what your vacation is. I sort of feel like this is crazy. Mm. This is a way to make people nuts about taking time off. And You know, in 1977, roughly 3.4% of surveyed U.S. workers reported taking a whole week of holiday in the previous week. By 2025, that share was just 1.6%. No wonder people are overwhelmed
and burnt out.
Not talking
to us. You and I are big believers in taking a vacation.
6 weeks, baby. Six. It's in my contract, and I try to take more. No one's counting, by the way.
Soon it's going to be the entire month of August for you and I.
No, I'll tell you what I've decided. I think the month of August is no good. August 15th to right through Thanksgiving. That's good.
Right through Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'll do it remotely with you, but that's a good time. That's a good amount of time.
There's also tons of studies saying that people who actually can unplug and take a break from work end up doing much better, staying at the job much longer, having a better career, and it's just, focusing on working out a place like that is going to do you justice in
the
long run.
Okay, so I ran into a very old friend of mine. We were on the trading floor together. He was a huge commodities trader on the floor of the Commodities Exchange in the New York Mercantile Exchange. This guy is hyper strung, so tight. He gets married, second marriage, finds this great woman, and they're going to go on like a trip, like a whitewater rafting trip in some middle of the country. I'm going to just say, Minnesota. There we go. Okay, in Minnesota. And what she never told him was that there was no cell service at all. Zero. And no TV, no cell service. And he's like, there's no way I would have agreed to it going into it. He said the most incredible thing to be actually like in your vacation mode and not checking. He goes, it felt very weird at first to not like have that. And he said, and it took like probably a day and a half to really get out of that habit and to break it. But it's kind of magical. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I retire and I never have to hear from anybody. It'd be so good. It's good. That's going to be my great moment, I think.
Because it's just the two of us, right? There's no backup for me. So no. I never, even when we're on vacation, I'm always kind of checking because I have to see what something's going
also,
on.
Also, you're obsessive.
Not about that.
You are obsessive.
Stuff needs to be posted and edited. And,
And he doesn't trust me. Isaac, it will not surprise you to know that Mark will not trust me with posting anything. So there's that. And we rely on each other.
Remember the one time, you and I have been doing this for 15 years, one time we had somebody fill in for me, and it was a total shit show.
Oh, yeah, that was bad. Oh, yeah. I know.
That?
Such
Poor
a nice guy.
Guy,
but terrible. It was terrible.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers, and someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Okay, it is time for a Jillionaire question. Remember, if you've got one, just go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button, check the audio box or the video box, and we'd love to bring you on the show. Today, we've got Brittany from New York. Hello, Brittany. What's going on? What can we do for you?
Hi. So I have a question. My husband and I own a landscaping and property maintenance business, and we're trying to figure out whether we should sell our house to essentially reset our finances or whether selling would put us into a huge mistake. We owe about $286 right now in our house, and we have a 3.4% interest rate. Our mortgage is around $2,300 a month, and we did have a realtor come and look at the house, and they said we could probably put it on the market for about $629.
What's driving this conversation?
So the business does really well as far as bringing in business wise. Like, there's no short of business. We're getting phone calls constantly, but we're having definitely like a cash flow problem as far as customers paying on time. And it's put our bills pretty far behind. Our credit is now shot. So we basically want like a financial reset for ourselves personally and for the business.
The business is both of you guys, or is it just your husband?
It's my husband, but I was laid off of my job last year and we have two small kids. So after that, he told me basically just to kind of work with him. I do a lot of his billing, estimating, you know, taking care of the paperwork side of things. And he just goes out and does the labor part.
And have you guys, you said, you know, your credit is trashed. Have you guys, in addition to the mortgage, run up other credit card debt or have other outstanding loans out there or not?
Yeah. So basically with this house, we built this house in 2023 and we had a huge problem with the builder. And basically they set our house and they basically left it not done. So they basically gave us a certain amount of money to finish the home. And at that time, I was pregnant. We were living in his parents' basement. We really wanted to get out. So, you know, my husband is handy. He knows a lot of stuff. So we said, you know what? We'll just take the money and he'll have, you know, he'll finish everything. There was a lot of work still left to be done on the home. And unfortunately, you know, there's things that we still haven't even done for the home. So that was one thing that kind of put us behind. And I don't think we ever actually, you know, recovered from that. And then on top of it, now my husband trying to start his business.
I just want to say that you're lucky because we have an actual practicing financial planner with us. We have a certified financial planner. Kayla Sabah is with us, and she's going to ask you a couple more questions, but she is the real deal. So we're going to, Mark and I'll sit back.
I guess we're phonies?
Well, we have CFPs, but we're not practicing. We're not in the business of providing financial advice. We're in the business of providing content, which is a little different. So Kayla, what do you think about Brittany's situation?
Well, my instinct as a financial advisor is to get tons of information from you, your goals, all of this data, but I don't know that that would make for a great podcast episode. Yeah, this is a little bit of a tricky situation. One of my questions is, if you were to sell the home and pay off your debt, do you think that this cash flow problem could be solved in your business in a relatively short-term period, or do you see that there's a bigger problem at play?
I mean, I would say absolutely. It definitely could. I mean, what's great about owning your own business and things like that is the customers, they are always changing. And right now, I feel like, unfortunately, the clients that we do have are not great paying clients. You know, all it takes is for him to have one good season, you know, maybe some good extra jobs or him actually getting in with the right people and actually people that will pay on time. That could definitely put us in a better situation. And I feel like sometimes thinking about it, we're not too far behind in the sense that we could get out of it if we do, you know, those circumstances do come along. But, you know, it's a business and you don't know. It's a gamble every time you're trying to get new work.
How long have you been in the business?
So my husband has actually been in the business for 16 years. He used to own it with his family. And then his dad actually wanted to step out. So he ventured out onto his own. So he's actually starting from scratch himself. But as far as him knowing the business, he knows a lot about the business. There are some things definitely that we don't know as far as like the financial part. I'm sure there's things that we could be doing better financially because he didn't actually run the numbers in his family business. Again, he was more of a worker. His dad took care of that part. So now I'm taking that part and my husband's still doing a lot of the work. So I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that we need to change as well. It's not just the cash flow, but that is a huge part of it, is the money's just not coming in consistently.
I mean, does he love this business? Like, is this what he wants his future to be? Has he thought about doing some sort of, potential career pivot at some point? Or is this it? This is what he wants to do?
He does truly love it. It's just a matter of, I guess, just trying to get it all back together, trying to fine tune stuff.
So, I mean, if that's the case, if this is what he wants to do, it sounds like, you know, the goal here is to try and figure out how to make this sustainable.
Okay, I have some solutions. You ready? I let you guys futz around here a little bit, but now here's what I'm thinking. They're never getting into a house at that mortgage.
No.
Forget about it.
No.
So don't sell the house, okay? I don't want you to do that.
Okay.
Also, you have to live somewhere. Okay. How much are you gonna, you're gonna pay rent somewhere.
They're in the New York area,
so it's not gonna happen. What you do need is an actual plan of action for the business. And it means that do you guys have a bookkeeper, an accountant, or somebody who you can talk to about this? I think what this business could benefit from, or by the way, your father-in-law, get off his ass to come help you with this transition process after the business came to him. But I do think that this is very, very common, that someone who's like, I love what I do, I want to own the business. Then you own the business and like, you're not doing the thing you want to do. Now you're running a business. And now all these cash flow issues come up. So you obviously need some sort of line of credit from your bank. You may have to put up some collateral for that. How much credit card debt is there?
Honestly, there's not much. There's less than $10,000.
All right.
In credit card
and
debt.
And would your father-in-law maybe give you a loan just to pay that off, to get the heat off, and then come up with a better plan of action? I mean, your father-in-law ran this thing for a long time and obviously was able to figure out how to run the business. You need some help. Ask for some help. Is that a possibility? Or do you feel like, oh my God, we can't do that? It's too embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing for me. I don't know if my husband will say the same, but I'm more open to asking. So, I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, this feeling of not, I just want to be able to have financial freedom and I'm willing to ask. So it's definitely something that we can look into.
Yeah,
for sure.
I would look into that. I would look into talking to somebody. I would look into like wherever you have your bank, talk to them about the cash flow. I mean, people are paying. It's just they're not paying in 30 days or they're paying in 60 days or you got to fire some clients who are deadbeat payers and get good ones like me and Mark. We're good payers. We're good payers.
Like you said, I would not sell the house because that's just a temporary solution. That's not going to solve the cash flow issue.
Right. I think the cash flow issue is one that is a business thing. And then I'd hate for you to be out of this house, which it sounds like it's affordable, even though it sucks the way that the builder left them hanging. But I mean, Kayla, is this something, you would have someone help you, maybe someone else who's, again, your father-in-law has had the business. Is there another professional that you can think about who could help with the cash flow issues in this specific business?
A specific professional, I'm not sure that there's someone that's coming to mind, but I think a financial planner can help because you can see the math behind it. You can see like, what does it look like if I bring in this type of cash flow for the next few years? What kind of pressure is that putting on me? You can put some real numbers around it, which is harder to do in this shorter setting. But I completely agree. The mortgage rate that you have is low. You wouldn't get that today. You'd have to purchase another home. And we need to look at the root of the problem, which is the
cash
flow.
I think it sounds to me like you actually got into this house. You're doing okay. I think that, how are you getting health insurance right now for you and your family?
Our health insurance just expired. We did New York State of Health and it was okay. But now we talked to a small business rep that we know that does health insurance and she actually just got us on board. So, I mean, it's not too bad, but it's still a lot more money than we were paying.
I mean, listen, I guess the other bailout option is that I want to just provide and put it out there is that you can go to a competitor and sell your business and then your husband has a job working someplace doing the things he wanted to do without the pressure of running the business. I don't think you're there yet, but that is you have a client list. It's worth something, right? And so there is a possibility. It's so funny because my lawn care person just came to me and said, I'm selling my business. And would you go with whoever came next? I'm like, I don't know. I can't give you the guarantee, but like, sure. And again, it's not huge, but it is a way that gets you out of this situation. I think the worst thing that you would do is throw your hands up and just say, we're done. We're walking away from it. You don't need to do that yet, but we do need to come up with the root cause. Like Kayla said, like what is going on here? The money coming in, the money going out. Are there certain clients that are more profitable than others? And you need to walk through that. And maybe you can do that with your father-in-law without your husband breathing down your neck and feeling weird about it. So I think that's the first step that I would take. I would think about, talking to your bank, maybe getting some sort of personal line of credit to help you through, but don't start taking a loan or taking any big actions until we understand what is going on with this business. So does that make sense, Brittany?
Absolutely.
And don't beat yourself up, because, you know, when I read the subject, you know, fight our way out of debt, I'm thinking, oh boy, they have a lot of debt. You're telling me it's $10,000 in credit card debt. That's not bad. You can deal with that.
Yeah. We just have to deal with the business, Brittany. So I think that's the best case for you guys. I think starting to have conversations and figuring out what exactly is going on. The thing is that you don't have a job right now somewhere else. The job that you have is to educate yourself about this business, dive in, talk to people who know. If there's anybody you know who's like a CPA in your world, friends of friends, just to like pull someone in and say, like, can we pay you by the hour to just look at this with us and help us understand what's going on?
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of this problem is about the clients that you have. You said the demand is there, so maybe it's about targeting the right people. I mean, this isn't the business that I'm in, but it sounds like there's a solution here for sure.
And we want solutions, baby. We want solutions.
And just navigating that uneven cash flow. It's just, you know, it's not ideal, but there's ways to work around it. You just really have to, like, lay it all out on a piece of paper, dig into it, and plan. It's a lot of planning.
Yeah. And Brittany, it sounds like you're willing to do it. So I think that's half the battle. So the fact that you're willing to do it, you're going to try to take this on. You let us know what you find. And if you want to come back on and tell us about your success story and how you're killing it 6 months from now, we'd love to hear that. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Okay, gang, time for the TikTok takedown. We are going to listen and watch a video that you guys sent in. If you have one, you run across somebody purporting to give financial advice and you want to kind of get a heat check on it, go to the website, jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, upload that, or just upload it in the YouTube channel. Okay, let's check this video out.
I went from $7,000 to $100,000 in 15 months. Here's exactly how I'd automate my investments if I made only $50,000. First, I'd contribute to my 401k, but only up to my company match. This is free money, so I'd never skip it. Second is $500 a month into my high yield savings, where I'd build up 3 to 6 months of living expenses before investing a single dollar. Once that's built, I'd redirect $500 a month into my Roth IRA, where I would buy VOO and VUG. $500 a month at a 7% average return is around $86,000 over 10 years. Now, if you're able to scale that to $1,000 a month, that's $173,000 in 10 years. And this is all from your automated investments you contributed every single month consistently. All of your building wealth on a 9-to-5.
Not terrible.
No, I would actually say pretty good. Kayla, what do you think?
I like everything that he was saying.
Except what was at the beginning, he was talking about his return. It seemed a little bit far-fetched.
Yeah. Okay, let's break it down. Contribute to a 401k up to the match. We're giving that a big thumbs
yes.
up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah, but I would always say if you can contribute more.
Sure. And if you have a Roth option and you're young, Roth
Definitely.
Is great, and
Definitely.
You can really pile a lot of money in there. High yield savings account, $500 a month. He says three to six months. I like six to 12, but that's because I've lived through lots of recessions and I'm old. And then you take the $500 a month that you were putting into your high-yield savings, you'd redirect that into your Roth. Again, if you have a Roth through your retirement account at work, it's a lot easier to do that. Mm. And you're not limited based on your income or by the total amount.
Right.
It's much higher. So overall, I think this is pretty good. I haven't checked his math. It looks okay-ish as he kind of went through it. You know, it's funny. Sometimes when I hear it presented in a certain way, it's like, you can get rich quick. And then you're like, but we've been talking about this for years, right? And this is what you do for a living. I think it's kind of good that you have younger people talking to younger people, putting this out there. Kayla, do you think more people would take it seriously if they knew that this person was credentialed, not just like some rando in a t-shirt with a writing something on a piece of paper?
I hope so. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it carries as much weight in this sort of setting, but I hope so because it means to me a lot more.
Maybe you should start your own channel.
Oh,
T-shirt.
Oh, my goodness.
a little TikTok channel.
I don't know if I would have that.
So I think this one we would rate pretty good.
Yeah.
I would say overall,
this
is a pretty good one. Yeah. So well done. And thanks for sending it in. If you've got a video to send us, again, you can just do it on the YouTube page. You can also send it to us at jillonmoney.com. And we always want to thank the folks who helped make this show happen. So we really appreciate that. We appreciate Kayla Sabah, who joins us today. And you can always just make sure that you are following, subscribing, spreading the word. We need jillionaires everywhere. So let's keep the momentum going. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and we will talk to you next time.
I'm Audie Cornish.
I'm Ari Shapiro, and it's engagement party.
It is engagement
and we
party.
Get to talk about what we're obsessed with, what we're engaged with, what we need to process with a friend. Big question, are we running out of protein? That was a question that The Atlantic recently posed. Wait, I want to share my headline.
Okay.
No way. Get it?
The
W-H-E-Y.
Way, like you cleared way. Both physical and psychological space for that joke. Follow Engagement Party.
Wherever you get your podcasts,